Broadcasting from KUCR Studios in UC Riverside, this is the Highlander Newsroom. I'm your host, Colin Markovich, joined today by...
Jake Rich, Managing Editor.
Amy Zahn, Assistant News Editor.
The people behind the paper. Welcome back to the newsroom, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Three's a crowd.
Three's a crowd. Last time we called it a trifecta, I think. And
we could be a triumvirate.
A triumvirate. All right, we'll do a triumvirate this time. We're the Highlander Newsroom triumvirate.
Yeah. Then we can take over Rome.
I was going to say, wait a second, you're the...
How
does... Who gets to be Tommy? Who gets to... Sorry. I just messed it up. Oh, my God. Caesar and...
Crassus and Pompey.
Yeah, Pompey and...
Crassus.
Who wants to be who?
I'll be Caesar.
Crassus was the rich guy, so I'll be him. And you can be the greatest general in all of Rome, Pompey.
I'll be Caesar. I am Caesar.
You get to be murdered.
I will give you pizza.
Clubbed to death in the Roman... No, it wasn't the Forum, but somewhere.
Take my pizza for only $5.
Different Caesar. All right. Besides...
I do not want to be stabbed 33 times. It's not an option.
But for an extra $5. So besides ancient Roman history, we'll be talking about a few things this week. The Hub is holding some spatial planning workshops, and that sounds like really like boring. But basically, they're deciding what
it's
to
really
do.
Exciting.
I don't know if it's really exciting, but they're
very exciting.
All right, take Jake's word for it. They're deciding what to do with the campus over the next 5 years, over the next 15 years, over the next 25 years, basically.
That is exciting.
Which is pretty interesting. If not at least exciting, then it's interesting to see what they want to do with the campus. Jake and I were both there for that, and we also had some opinions on it in our editorial this week. So we'll be talking a little bit about that. And then one of the bigger things that happened last week was ASUCR finally came through on their R-Gear project, in which they handed out free sweatshirts to freshmen around
at the
campus.
At the end of winter.
At the end of winter. So we'll talk a little bit about their R-Gear program. And then we can't end the show without talking a little bit about Winter Solstice, which was the big concert of the week last week. So without further ado, let's get started with... urban development.
quite.
Yes, indeed. As part of the UCR 2020 strategic plan, which is UCR's long-term project to determine how much it's going to develop, where it's going to develop, how many students it's going to have, how much faculty, staff it's going to have. As part of that, it held a couple of planning workshops on Tuesday. The first one was in the Hub, and it was for students, staff, and faculty at UCR for them to kind of get off their chest what kind of things they thought were useless at UCR or things that they needed to be improved on, as well as the things that they liked. Yeah. Then there was a second one that was held at the Extension Center for members of the community, since UCR is such a huge part of Riverside. I think it's the third largest employer.
I thought it was the largest.
I think it's the largest in the city, and I think the third largest in the county.
Yeah.
Don't quote me on that, but it's really huge. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people have jobs because of UCR. So from a first-person perspective of someone who was there, what were your perspectives? What were your thoughts about it, Jake?
So I have a lot of mixed feelings about it. For one thing, I think it was a good thing that it's even happening. Apparently, I was talking to some other people who from KUCR who I went there with, and they were saying nothing like this has happened since 2008, which is a really significant amount of time.
7 years.
Yeah. To have everybody in, not necessarily in the dark, but not having... people have input into campus planning in such a large way, because I'm sure there was in some other way. But anyways, the whole thing worked is you went in there, you got your name tag, and you were assigned a table. And you were assigned a table with a bunch of various other people from all around campus. And there were two people at your table who were...
A facilitator,
and I can't remember.
The other person was like a information person.
Yeah, and they kind of helped lead discussions and such. Basically, what the whole thing was is you had a map in front of you on your table.
of the campus and the general surrounding area. So yeah, like the included the UV, right?
Yeah, yeah. And it was like a satellite image, so you could see, well, as much as you can see on a satellite image,
as well as how dead everything is, dead and brown.
So the first thing that happened was they had everybody from the tables. We got up. We were assigned red and green stickers, and we went. And there were other similar maps on the wall, and we all put red stickers on the spots where we thought that there needed improvement or weren't good, and green stickers on the spots that were good and we wanted to preserve. Mind you, nothing on these maps were numbered, labeled. So, they're not. I'm not gonna say they're explicitly trying to confuse people, but it was not helpful. Second of all, after all that happened, we all went back to the groups, and they told us to discuss, kind of the things we liked and didn't like more in detail. And so we did that. I was one of two students. I was the only undergrad at the table, at my table. There was one other grad student. More on that in a second. basically, there was a big discussion about, the exact same thing, what we wanted at campus and, and what needed to be improved. There was a lot of talk about entrances and...
That was one of the big things
that
they hit on.
That was a huge thing.
That pretty much every group hit on at the event, mm-hmm. saying that there needed to be some sort of designated entrance or some sort of identifier that you are now entering UCR.
There were 16 groups, so it was
And I think about at least 10 of them mentioned it in some capacity.
Mm-hmm. And it was sort of an interesting thing. A lot of people had good things to say. It was good that they were having input from people from all over. This people range from housing, from dining, from...
I saw a couple of professors there, uh-huh. some staff members, quite a few recently graduated students.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well... With the exception of actual students or grad students, there might have been, in total, combined about 10 undergrads and grads there.
My estimate is a little bit more generous. My estimate is about 20.
20, still.
To give you some context, mm-hmm. The official number of people who RSVP'd for the event was somewhere between 175 to 180. Mm-hmm. Of those, about maybe 130 or 140 of people showed up.
Yeah.
The official breakdown that I got from one of the people who was putting on the event was, she said, it was about 50% staff, about 25% faculty, and 25% students is what she said.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, well, maybe this puts a little damper on what I'm going to say. But my big issue here is that this event, and, you guys can correct me if I'm wrong. Please tear me down and tell me I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong.
Tear down this argument. Mr. Rich, tear down this argument.
I really hope I'm wrong and uninformed on this, but there was absolutely no advertising of this to students. There was... I hardly saw that this. The only reason I knew this was happening is because someone here at the station told me, and because we at KZKUCR are trying to get help with a new building, and that's the only reason I knew about this event. This kind of event is something where you're planning the campus, and you're seeing what's wrong and what needs to be fixed, what you can improve on, what you want to preserve. And here you got, all these people who work here, and that is all fine and great, and we need their perspective too. But part of the reason universities exist is for students to learn and learn and obviously grow and socially and networking and all that kind of stuff. And you just kind of wonder why the heck weren't students... really explicitly invited or asked to give their perspective when they're at the heart of what happens on campus and are the driving force for a lot of the reason why the university exists. It just kind of, it's a head scratcher, and it makes you wonder whose opinion they really care about.
I don't know. I can only speak for myself, Amy. But I did not see too much in the way of advertisement or public advertisement when it came to such an event. Where I read about it was the UCR inside UCR communications thing that tells about UCR happenings, the one that's put out by the administration. So maybe I...
Which no student reads.
Which, but yeah. I don't know if you saw anything, Amy, or...
I didn't hear about it at all until I heard you guys talking about it, so...
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, maybe, like, they could have increased outreach to students a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that I would consider is, like, is... I mean, I know this is something that, probably would want to go to. At least a few students who are concerned about like where it's going,
plenty of student leaders would have.
Yeah, I saw speaking personally, I saw no members of student government, either ASUCR or the Graduate Student Association.
Yeah,
which I presume is fine because this is meant for the public, really. Presume that those discussions are happening in other venues between members of ASUCR and the administration.
The later one was for the public.
This is also for the but UCR public.
UCR public.
I definitely think that there should be more students there, that they should have showed up at the event, and I think that the outreach could have been better. That said, even if that was the case, I don't know how many students that they would get necessarily, and I do know that they moved it to the hub because they got more turnout than they anticipated. They had previously sectioned it off in a lecture hall in Chung. And they were expecting about like 80 people to show up, if that. And then when they started getting more RSVPs than they had expected, one of the event planners was telling me that they were thinking about putting tables outside, and they were like, well, that's not going to work because it's going to divvy up the space. And so then they did move it to the hub, where there was more room. So it does seem like there was more interest in it than they had expected. That said, usually when I go to these types of things, usually the turnout is pretty meh. Like, I think it's important for the university's future, but usually people are interested in the idea of what it should look like, but they don't actually show up to these sorts of things. So I can't blame them for thinking that there would be less people to show up. I mean, all that said, there should have been more student input, I think.
Yeah. Because they were totally allowed to show up. Mm-hmm. I showed up, you know, there was... You know,
and there was free food.
Mm-hmm.
But speaking of what the campus should look like, was there any talk of what the campus should smell like? Did anybody bring up anything about any, I don't know, trees at all?
No,
actually.
Not at all?
Not really,
nobody?
No. A lot of, I went and took a look at the maps that were posted. A lot of the red dots focused on a few places. There was there was one at, right by the arts building where the Canyon Crest becomes university. That little turn thingy.
Yeah, I put mine there.
there were a lot of things that people didn't like about that, apparently. There were a lot of red dots at the University Village.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody likes the University Village, apparently.
That's one of mine.
Is that part of the campus, though?
It is, yes. It's where campus is planning to expand. The long-term plan, long-term plan, is the campus that most people know right now is called East Campus. It's the campus that's basically to the east of the 60 freeway. The UV and the Extension Center, and there are a couple of other administrative buildings, are located on the area that's called West Campus. Which isn't really campus, but in the long, long term is where they want campus to expand. Beyond what these red dots, the things that people did like were the botanical gardens.
Mm-hmm.
People liked the hub.
Yeah.
Sort of surprisingly, in my view at least. I think there were a ton of KUCR people there, so I think that may have had something to do with KUCR having like 70 green dots there and each of them being labeled KUCR on it. I think, did you see anything else besides those things right off the top of your head? Those are pretty much the main things.
Yeah, there are some green dots in the fields out by MLK.
Oh, the citrus groves.
Yeah, Lot 30 had a bunch of red dots.
Lot 30 had red dots, yep.
Yeah.
So people hate Lot 30. And beyond that, I think what a lot of... We talked a little bit that some people wanted a big identifier of you are now coming to UCR. And do we think that would be something that would help improve like campus identity or increase campus morale, or is it kind of just like not even worth it? Does the mural serve that purpose? Does the stone structure on university serve that purpose? Do we need something bigger?
I'm shaking my head here, but obviously you can't see that. No, I think we need something really sick. We need something bigger and to show, like, you know, when a lot of times when you go onto major universities, you know you're there. You know it by a sign. You know it by artwork, by statues, by significant architecture, etc. And a lot of that is just missing from, like, until you get inside campus. There are obviously some very nice things inside campus, you know. Significant architecture you want to talk about, like an arts building. That's pretty cool. I like the... Yeah, you can have your own opinion. I like it.
Let it be known that I register my disapproval with Jake's opinion, but go on.
It's kind of weird-looking and hard to navigate. But...
Well, that is... hard to navigate is
because it's for arts majors.
I tried to get to a classroom once, and I ended up in this little narrow, dim hallway with flickering lights with all these dark rooms, and it was terrifying.
That reminds me of Pierce.
Reminds me of Watkins.
Here, we are expressing problems here. Anyways, I think...
I wonder if they're listening to the show right now.
Yeah, you might hope so. I think there needs to be something big and showing here. We are UCR. We are a high-level institution. We rank on par with these prestigious institutions. And, you know, not saying that necessarily we have to be, you know, copy these things word for word. As somebody said, one of the people there said something, you know, we're talking about the rankings, the new rankings in which UCR is ranked very highly in, and how they're more contingent upon more 21st century type factors rather than having, I think I'm paraphrasing, but they said having a large donor in the late 1800s or something like that. And that's the only reason they're famous. But yeah, I think we need to have something bigger. I don't know what, but
statue. I think I heard some people suggest a pedestrian, like an above the road pedestrian walkway, type thing, or there could be like an arch.
What would the statue be of?
Scotty, probably. Scotty wants you to join UCR. You can have him pointing down at the cars at University Avenue. And then another interesting thing that was brought up was people seem to like history of UCR, but they weren't too enamored with some of the older buildings on campus.
Yeah.
I mentioned Watkins specifically, and that was something I was actually looking for. There were a couple of red dots on that one. But some people mentioned some of the older buildings as well, and said they'd like to see those either renovated or bulldozed and built with new ones. What do we all think of that?
I could do without Sproul. I kind of like Watkins.
What's wrong with Sproul?
Actually, no, it's the other way around. I don't really like Watkins.
Yeah.
I like Sproul better. I like the old kind of, like, 60s high school feel. I don't know. It's kind of funny.
It does feel like that.
I like the idea of renovating rather than destroying. Because there's some cool things, like, I think in Watkins, there's no phones in them anymore. But
these
old phone booths. And they look exactly, I'm guessing, the same as they did however many years ago. Well, our editorial, we suggested... this is also another subject of contention there, but we suggested adding on another level to Rivera. Mm-hmm. Something that was a big talking point there was, do we build upward,
upward or outward?
And how much, you know, there are all the agricultural fields out by MLK, like, how much of those do you want to sacrifice? How much should you sacrifice, if any at all?
Mm-hmm. It's definitely... something that UCR is having a bit of a, I don't know if it's not having an crisis. Identity crisis, but it's definitely trying to figure out who it is and where it's trying to be and what it's trying to do in the coming years, especially as it's trying to accommodate more students. In the presentation, they were saying that they're hoping to have 25,000 enrolled students by 2020, which is almost about 4,000 more students than what we have now, and do a 50% increase in the number of faculty by that same time. All that in 5 years, which, as Jake said, is ambitious. And UCR will have to grow to accommodate that. The question is how. They're going to be actually holding some more workshops in the future. I think there's going to be another one coming up in April. I believe it's the 27th, but don't quote me on that. It's late in April, though, if you all are interested and want to have your voices heard on that matter.
And I think this is something we'll continue to discuss here. This is a pretty extensive thing that really one segment on one show here isn't really enough to talk about it.
We just solved UCR. Pat yourself on the back, guys. We're done here.
Yeah.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to the Highlander Newsroom on KUCR 88.3 FM or streaming online at KUCR.org or from the KUCR app on the App Store or from the TuneIn app on Android.
Applause. Colin usually cannot get through all of these without messing up at least once. So
I got it all this time, so I now declare that you owe me cookies, Jake. This is binding
okay.
Because this is going to be airing. And I will let everybody know last week if you don't follow through.
If you make him cookies, I want some too.
You know, owe Jake. You know, owe me and Amy cookies, Jake.
It's on air,
what?
So it's binding.
Yeah.
Oh no.
Chocolate
okay.
chip. Okay.
Before you can deny, we're moving on.
Yes.
No. There was a project last week. I was about to say last year. sort of started last year. But last week, that the current ASUCR president Nafi Karim was big on his agenda. He wanted to increase the amount of school spirit on campus, and he wanted to do this by handing out sweatshirts to freshmen. So last week, Wednesday, I think it was, right? Mm-hmm. Wednesday, ASUCR senators were on hand to hand out tons and tons of sweatshirts, right?
Sweatshirts.
Although I don't know what the difference is. Does anybody know what the difference is between a sweater and a sweatshirt?
I thought a sweater was made of like knitted or like crocheted or something.
I'm not really sure.
All right, we'll table that under the great questions of our time. Sweatshirts were handed out, and Amy was there, so she knows a little bit more about it than I do. But ASUCR senator said it was pretty successful.
Yeah, I think Nafi estimated about 2,000 to 3,000 students went to pick up their sweatshirts on Wednesday. And the students that didn't can still have a chance to pick them up, and then some upperclassmen, I think, are going to have the chance to get them also. And for some reason, there were bands playing and speeches made. Yeah, at a sweatshirt giveaway, there were bands and dance crews and speeches.
Add it to the festive atmosphere?
Yeah.
Of sweatshirt giveaways?
That's the reason I was told.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you said about 3,000 were given away and that there are some extras, that they're going to hold on to for
a
little
bit.
Yeah,
not every freshman got theirs on Wednesday, but they'll be able to get theirs at some point, and then, yeah, they ordered some extras for some upperclassmen.
Hmm. So is this, do we think that giving out these sweatshirts overall is a good thing for school spirit? Is there a way that the process could be improved, or is this a solid idea?
No.
Everybody's looking at me with like expectant eyes, and I'll just go ahead and cede the floor to anybody who wants to speak.
Well, I mean, I'm not saying it's not good for school spirit, but is spending over $40,000 on sweatshirts really something we want to condone?
I don't think so.
I didn't think so either.
Just for some background, the exact numbers, ASUCR wouldn't disclose the exact numbers to us.
Nafi didn't know.
Nafi didn't know. And so we sort of calculated the costs on our own based on the amount of sweatshirts that were estimated given. So we estimated it to be somewhere in $43,000 about.
Yeah, it was like $43,800. That was with, because he, like I said, apparently he didn't know how much it cost. So he told me that I could estimate that sweatshirts were purchased for about 30% of the undergraduate population. So that's the number it came out to.
But, of course, because it's an estimation, it could be much larger or much lower than that.
Yeah.
Nafi, if you are going to get and spend a large amount of money on things, maybe you should know how much money they are and exactly how it's going to affect things. I can't even find the words for this. This is kind of ridiculous.
A little.
If you're the ASUCR president, you need to know what's going on. You need to know how your money's being spent. And there needs to be no question about that, because we, the student body, are paying these fees. And I want to know how my fees are being spent. And I don't want to know that my money is being wasted on some thing that is way too expensive, but potentially...
couple of things. Kareem was careful to mention that none of the funds for the project came from existing student revenue sources.
No, they,
that
they
were
all,
not. They did not.
Came
they all
existing.
Came. Sorry, they
yeah.
came from existing revenue sources, but there was no additional fees added onto the student population to cause that. The second thing is they got apparently a discount on the individual sweatshirt prices.
Yeah, it was I believe $7.30 per sweatshirt, which is much lower than you'll find in most places for a sweatshirt, but it's still $40,000 on sweatshirts. So,
yeah, I don't know.
Is there something else that we think that the $40,000 could have been spent on, or do you think? I mean, from what I've heard is that this is planned to be sort of like an annual thing. Is that right?
They
that
want within 4 years every student is going to have our gear.
And we spoke to Chancellor Kim Wilcox, who is at the event, right?
Yes, he was. Oh yeah, he just he expressed his support of it. He thought it was really exciting to have lots of school spirit, and that's the gist of what he said.
But of course he does, because he's the chancellor and he's supposed to say that. I'm sure he does, and I'm sure that's a good thing, and I'm sure he's genuine about that. But we can't expect anything else.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if this is most of the students we talked to at the event, though, seem to be pretty happy with the sweatshirts.
Yeah, all of them were. Nobody seemed to mind the cost either, which I was a little surprised about. But everyone
I talked
to... Did
anybody know about the cost?
I told them when I was interviewing them, and they all thought it was great. So that's what they thought.
So, I mean, maybe if the goal then is to make students happy, then maybe does the amount of money matter if students are being given a premier.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Yes, Colin, the amount of money matters.
Yeah. It doesn't really matter what else it could have gone to. It's just the fact that this happened, and I don't know. Like, if people, I mean, you get free t-shirts at the beginning of the year, and I know a t-shirt's not the same as a sweatshirt, but, like, why do people need a free sweatshirt?
Apparently they do.
I mean, like, I like
I can tell you personally,
next guy.
I can tell you personally that I owe exactly one piece of UCR paraphernalia, and that is a UCR mug. And that is it.
You didn't get a free t-shirt at orientation?
Did you live on campus?
I might have.
Ever?
No, I did not live on campus. I might have gotten a t-shirt. I have no idea where it is, though.
I'm actually wearing mine right now.
Yeah, I have that one, too.
Oh.
Yeah, from the 2011. It's the one with the bell tower on it.
Yeah.
So maybe between all these events that UCR students are going to, before the end of the year, they can graduate with a full wardrobe of UCR-themed gear. You could
have
a t-shirt,
like...
a sweatshirt, some pants, a hat, UCR-themed boxers. might
I
as well
have a
go
ton
the...
of free t-shirts.
While we're at it, we might as well just go the whole mile and give students an entire wardrobe.
The thing is, t-shirts are significantly less expensive than a sweatshirt, you know?
Well, it's ASUCR's decision to do what they do.
With our money, yeah.
And, I mean, it is student fees. So if it's something that students don't like, then we would hope to see results of that in the elections, which are coming up next quarter. So now would be the time where I normally transition to winter solstice.
I'm resisting your segues.
We are running out of time. So, Jake, give us a brief 30-second recap of winter solstice.
Okay.
Go.
Kalani, the first one, almost unknown. She was very good, charismatic, had what I thought was pink, but it was apparently red hair.
Definitely red hair.
Yeah, but she was a very good performer. Yuna, excellent, probably the best performance of the night. Very charismatic and smiley, and... you know, great songs and stuff. Omarion, main headliner, attraction. He danced and dry humped the mic stand and had a bunch of the UCR, singing part of his songs, and he was, like, really weird and not that good.
Apparently he changed his shirt halfway through the show for some sort of reason to do something.
No discernible reason.
And so basically Omarion danced. And danced and danced and danced and danced.
And then he kind of ended weirdly, abruptly.
Yeah. So,
Go Yuna.
For those of you who didn't go to Winter Solstice, there you have it. That's what you missed. Thank you, everybody, for joining us for this edition of the Highlander Newsroom, broadcasting on KUCR 88.3 FM. The Newsroom is a co-production of KUCR and the Highlander newspaper and does not reflect the opinions of the Highlander, the Associated Students, or KUCR. Special thanks to Monica Taylor, Louis Vandenberg, Elliot Fong, Eddie Valencia, Tina Bold, and Alex Hill. For Jake Rich.
Come to the Comedy Apocalypse tonight at 7. It'll be really fun, and there are surprises in store.
And hopefully no apocalypse.
At the barn.
For Amy Zahn.
Everybody read The Highlander.
Shameless plugs. I like it. I like the shameless plugs. All right. Thank you, everybody, for listening.